Happy Monday to you. It's 2:12. Let's get back to daily. It's a Ken Braverman podcast. How's it going? Another visit to the eye doctor and the old stamp of approval. Things looking good. See you in 2025. That's good enough for me. I'm in and out. I'm a little dilated, which means it's time to talk. Let's talk because you can't read. That sucks when you get your eyes dilated. You can't read. But anyway, so little press conference. Little Sarah Huckabee Sanders on there doing her thing. I'm going to take some flack for this, but bear with me. There might be some logic to it. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders is very good at her job. She knows how to not answer a question and revert into a talking point and steamroll you. She is kind of a female Trump in that way. And she's not really offensive. Like, even when she spouts out her nonsense, you don't hate her. You're like, yeah, sure, all right. You did kind of provide a non-answer. I don't know. You've done it. Now, here's where I'm going to take some flack. Okay. She's got an odd-shaped eyebrow situation going on what would be referred to as, like, doctor left, patient right, I believe. So, like, if you were her, your right eye and her eyebrows down a little bit, her head's a little off tilter. It's something in her brain's a little misshaped with her skull and her eyebrow, whatever. And I've had theories about skull structure and how it changes different sizes of areas in your brain as well, just due to the shape of something. And I'm guessing that whatever she's got going on above that right eyebrow that causes her to have this cockeyed kind of tilt has shorted something out in her brain that is a part of the brain that deals with like empathy and depth of meaning. I don't know even quite how to describe it. There's a part of your brain that when it goes through a scenario of answering a question and determining whether or not to lie or not, the consequences of the depth of the criteria of the question and whether or not it's important enough for you to consider answering it honestly. What I mean by that is, if you have a child, the best way I can think about this is with kids. When your kid is, you know, pressuring you to like use the iPad or pressuring you to have a fruit roll up or do something, and the kid kind of goes, you know, disobeys you and starts to commit the act of unrolling the fruit by the foot. And I've been like, no, you're not having that. And he's rolling it out like he's going to eat it. And I say, you know, don't do that. And he's like, ah, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to lie. I'm still going to act out and do what I want to do. And then there's a point where I go, if you take a bite of that fruit by the foot, I'm taking your iPad away and I am throwing it in the dumpster, and I pick it up and I act like I'm going to do it. And then your child realizes that shit is serious at this point. And then the child's like, okay, I'll put it down, and puts the fruit by the foot away. With Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you can ask her, hey, Sarah, you know, what's the situation with John Kelly? And when did people find out that this guy was a wife beater and why they let him stay at work and everything? She can answer stuff, be like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to talk about the truth. I'm not going to admit that, yes, the administration kind of views loyalty and work ethic way more highly above, you know, the personal relationships highly above accusations and of course probably documented evidence of physical assault, which it looks like in the guy's history. Somebody's given his ex-wife a black eye and she filed a police report, she got a restraining order. Like, that's probably true there, right? So no fake news on that. Now, the fact that these things mean more than common decency and the rule of law is what's so bothersome to not only the women of the world, but the men of the world too that care. And so Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets up there and doesn't answer questions targeted to what people are really asking, continues to revert to any old whatever, and steamroll on as if nothing is happening. And it's because there's a part of her brain that is not well developed that cares about a greater, more abstract good and less about targeted working for my boss, doing what he says. She must see this, right? Like, she knows that her boss owes a bunch of money to Putin, right? Like, she knows the Russians were everywhere. She knows who's been in and out of the White House. She hears shit. Like, come on. So she chooses to get up there. And she seems like a nice person. And like someone that you could see around the office and be like, yeah, she's good at her job and I like her. And yet in the position she's in, she has to argue for the indefensible. And it's kind of... I really think it's a shape of the brain that allows people to do that. There are psychopaths in the world. There are just crazy people. Trump is one of them. And you can't allow these people that are devoid of empathy rule over the masses to be the leader of a free world. It's the worst type of person to do this. And it's sad that I think it is a fault of humanity. It's what happens when too much motivation goes wrong. You can see it with historical leaders in the past, like Napoleon, Stalin, Mussolini. People that rise, when you kill others and when you will do anything for power, you tend to gain power. You know, the more reasonable individuals don't always win out because they don't fight so dirty. You know, and so... when this kind of thing happens, we all have to stand up and act and do something about it. It's been over a year. Like, we're done with this. I'm ready for indictments at this point. And we're not getting... I mean, how many more scandals do we need to... We're not proud of what our president is. Our rules are archaic that he is still there. Our Congress is clearly corrupted. They're still there. We have to challenge. We all have to get active. We have to speak up and talk. That's one of the reasons I do this, is we have to speak up. So I don't want to make it so downer, but we have to get rid of it. All right, we'll focus on other things. How does Elon Musk do it? Let's talk about my new company. My new company called Elon hasn't done this yet. You're going to focus on targeting of genome therapy for stuff. God, who doesn't want to cure every single cellular disease in a mathematical way? Let's get on that. Gosh, we're so ready for that. You know, all right, let's talk about cool things. Awesome people. Hey, Jeff Bezos, you and your bald head kicks ass. JB, you the man. Look, all you guys, what's up with the 21st century billionaire? There are some cool studs out there. There's Bezos, there's Musk. They're like, you know, not only do I set up, you know, transferring money in a universal way with PayPal and you start sow the city and really try to launch what I think is a battery-powered clean energy revolution, but I'm also going to shoot my car into space. And then Bezos, you can't really impersonate him. Bezos was built Amazon out of his car. He like or his house. He rewired his dryer to get more power to set up a server to originally start Amazon. I worked for Amazon on two spurts, Amazon Web Services, two different times. And his name and his email are right up there. You can send an IM to Jeff Bezos and be like, I think about this about the company. And I don't know if he'll turn around and fire you, or he'll be like, that's a good idea, I'm moving you up. I will give him credit for that. I didn't have a bad time working there. I got exposed to a million different things. That's the way that place is. So, you know... these 21st century billionaires, how cool is it that they're doing everything now? Everything. He's delivering packages. He's setting up drones. He's also flying to space. Like, Bezos has his own, it's not SpaceX. It's, he's got his own rocket launching company. I can't remember, out of Texas and stuff. He launches. He's got his own one too. Like, everybody's doing everything. You can get your hands into everything as a 21st century billionaire. It's pretty sick. So what? So how do we focus on awesome things like that? And what are these great things that are happening? How do we move toward that? And I'd love to have this great world where the public and private sector work together, which in a lot of ways they do now. I mean, the government does fund a lot of high-end projects and specialty stuff and invests, but we need to have an arm of like the direction of this investment, the direction going in a smarter way. You hear the opposite coming out of the current administration, right? You hear stuff like, we're going to bump up coal and we're going to put taxes on solar panels or stuff like that. At least that's the way that things are being framed, is like we want to go in a backwards direction. Why do you do that? And I always thought the only explanation for that is people that currently have a lot of money and power trying to hold on to their money and power by protecting their industry. And it's such a negative way of looking at the world. And is that really how it pans out? Is that you're more motivated as a sociopath, come back to being a sociopath here a little bit. You're more motivated as a crazy person to go out and do harm and stir up the pot and, you know, stir around that food coloring you've just dumped into that clear glass and really get it everywhere when you're dirty, as opposed to if you're just hanging out and enjoying yourself and not wanting to harm anyone, your impact on the world oftentimes isn't as great or isn't as realized. And so that's why you have nutty people running for political office, especially in America, where we have this multi-year long political campaigning nonsense. It's ridiculous. Let's have some pasta here. It's completely insane that we have people running for so long, and it made such a terrible decision after a 2-year election. Ugh. Because it became someone that we just want to see every day and not someone we care about what they think. And the truth is, Trump gave you something different every day. So even though it's awful, it's at least entertaining. And we chose that over reliable, good old Hillary, because we just don't want to see Hillary's face every day. It's such a terrible way to choose a president, which is why we need massive adjustments. We need to campaign for things like the Wolfpack, getting money out of politics, so our representatives actually try to act on through some semblance of sanity, instead of being beholden to terrible, you know, one-off donors that are ruining everyone else's lives. So sociopath. What do we do with sociopaths? How do we limit them? Well, how do we? Examples of good sociopaths, like Musk and Bezos. I think that those guys are motivated for growth, and their excitement and their resources and what they push everyone to do helps us all out. I mean, is there anything cooler than, you know, finding a specialty item on Amazon and then having it delivered to an electronic box at like a Whole Foods and then shooting over there a day later and popping in a Q code and thing opens door automatically and you grab it and you're out the door? I mean, it's just awesome. I did that in Florida, and my grandpa dropped me off. Like, he was driving, my 94-year-old grandpa, circling a parking lot, and I'm in and out of the Whole Foods without having to speak to anyone. Screw me for, you know, not wanting to ever talk to anybody, being a loner in public. But I love it. I love going in and not having to talk to anybody and getting in and out of there. I feel like a king. So to motivate, to run a company that does that, it makes the world an easier, better place, a less social place, I guess. I'll give credit for Bezos saying you don't go shopping anymore. I mean, Jeff Bezos, Amazon taking down retailers everywhere. It's Macy's closing. Watch out. Oh, your Bon-Ton, it's closing. Kohl's going down. Sears, see you later. I don't know if all those companies are going out of business, but they probably will. Amazon's going to take everybody down. It's going to be nothing but Walmart versus Amazon. It's going to be like, do you want to go and pick this up in person, or do you just want to order it online? We want to have a drone fly it to you. That's where we're going. It's cool. So yeah, let's focus on people like that. Let's focus on Musk. Musk is like, let's tunnel everywhere. Let's go underground and hyperloops. Should we just pop ourselves into little tubes and shoot ourselves like an old bank? like you're depositing a check through the, you know, suck up and then go back down. Is that what we do? Whoa, sorry. Whoa. Well, don't pretend. Ugh, sorry. Don't pretend to be in a Jetson. That will wreck your throat for a second there. So yeah, do we want to be in little pods and just shoot everywhere? I don't know. That kind of sounds fun. If you could just shoot to Vegas in like 15 minutes on some super hyperloop, you look like you're going through through different dimensions in that Jodie Foster movie with Matthew McConaughey, Contact, right? Just going through crazy wormholes and stuff. That sounds like it would be fun, right? Let's go to a future like that, not a future like the past of people, you know, living in an archaic way. We have to change quicker than we're used to changing as humans. And it's difficult. It's a problem because we all don't change at the same rate and we all get into routine. You know, people used to get into routines and stay at jobs for 35 years. People still do. And that doesn't necessarily make for a healthy world. So we kind of have to learn how to change for the better and quicker. That's what we need to do. And you know that I can think of many ways to start that. But everybody, in everything in your life, every day, look around and see something you don't like and think about how the future should change that for the better. Every single little thing. Every single one. Once you start attacking life like that, it's not attacking, it's just weaving yourself in with life like that. The world becomes a less boring place. And a more favorable place. So you'd be surprised how you put off things that you are annoyed with just because you're like, I'll do that later. But then when you really just be like, everything you do and you move around, you're like, all right, I've always hated the way that, you know, this area of the bathroom gets dirty. I'm going to set up a little thing to clean that area or change something around in there. Every little gosh darn thing you can see. Oh, I always hate how when I get into my car, I never have any of these. So I'm going to have a whole stock of my car in the glove compartment, like napkins, Band-Aids, you know, chapstick, whatever, you know, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to have that just done so that I always know it's there. Like all kinds of weird stuff like that. When you start doing that with everything in your life, the world becomes a really cool place because you start to see what's available out there to solve your problems. And I'm not going to brag, but I can do that sometimes, is act like that. It's fun. And I try to impart that on other people who sometimes don't want to hear it. But you should want to hear it because I love doing it, and it's a great way to live. So you see something you're annoyed with and think about a creative way to solve it today. Just start with one. Pick one. All right, we're out for now.